And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
And Chris finish the last episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. Luckily, dependable Dave Filoni and crew create Rebels with new characters, new places, and new adventures, thus keeping hope alive for this podcast. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars Rebels. In this episode, while Kanan continues to struggle with trust issues, the other Rebels begin to form friendships with the old clones. And when Agent Kallus arrives, all must join together to battle the Imperials. There'll be clones versus stormtroopers, a deadly new foe shows up, and the most awesome slow-motion chase scene you'll ever see. We're talking Relics of the Old Republic this week. How you doing, Kreeus?
Good. I don't know, there's another good slow-motion chase scene in the movie Bubba Hotep between Elvis Presley and a walker and a mummy. So,
yeah.
But this is right up there.
Where it's like, full speed ahead, and they just like kind of slowly move along. Did you have a good week?
Yeah, I did. It's been kind of, the weather's been like, meh, here, off and on. But getting some yard work done. I'm really excited. Man, I sound like an old guy. I'm really excited. I got rose bushes and raspberries. So these two thorny plants growing together. Mm-hmm. And I've been using string and rope and zip ties, whatever I can find. They've been growing like crazy, like onto our driveway. And I've been trying to sort of get them under control and shaping them. And there's going to be just this huge raspberry patch and rose bush this year. And it's starting to, you know, bud and sprout.
That's cool. My dad planted his garden, so we're going to have beans and tomatoes in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Yep, green beans and tomatoes.
The staples.
Yeah, it's not officially summer until you have that first tomato sandwich straight from the garden. That's when it's officially summer. And a tomato sandwich is just bread, mayonnaise, a big slice of tomato, and salt and pepper. And then it's officially summer.
Yeah, people who don't get tomatoes from gardens don't realize that tomatoes from gardens taste different than your store-bought tomatoes.
Yeah, people, don't
they have
put
flavor
tomatoes
to
in
them.
Don't put tomatoes in the fridge. You're actually killing this acidity that helps with the taste. You're not supposed to put your tomatoes in the fridge. They can't fall, I believe, below, I think, like 60 degrees, if I remember correctly. If they're under, like, a certain degrees for a long time, it actually starts killing the acidity, which kills the flavor. So if you've never had, like, a fresh tomato from a garden, you're missing out because they're so good.
Yep, they have real flavor to them. We used to pick ours green and ripen them down in the basement.
Yeah. We do that too. We ripen them on like the counters, like in like the shade, like away from the windows and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. I had an okay week. My car died, and I'm not like being like, oh no, it's not working. Like, it died. So I'm now in like frantic car buying mode.
Well,
so
you've been using the same car for 15 years. You've gotten 15 years of use out of the car. Right? Is that right? Am I remembering that right?
I am 31 and I got my car when I was 16. It's still my first car.
So that you got that car just like when you were getting your learner's permit.
Mm-hmm. I learned to drive in that car.
So that's
he's
that's
my boss.
Pretty good. That's pretty good for I mean, I'm sure you get more use from cars down there because you don't have like salt on the roads in the winter to eat away like all the parts on your car, but yeah. Yeah, you you did real good on that. You got your money worth out of that car.
He's my Bob. His name wasn't supposed to be Bob. It was just because, like, we named our cars, and it was just one of those things I was like, I'll just call you Bob until I think of something better, and it stuck. So he's my Bob, and my Bob's an old man. And the crazy thing is I'm its third owner.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I'm not even its first owner. I'm its third owner, and I've had it the longest.
Well, yeah, I should hope so, or else Bob would be like 50 years old or something like that.
Yep, he was a 97, so he's almost as old as I am. 97, 98, 89, 90. Wait, I'm going backwards. 97.
What year were you born?
I'm 10 years. I forgot how to do math and how years work for half a second. I'm only 10 years older than Bob. So. Yeah, he is my boy. He's my baby boy. Actually, he's my old man. So I'm sad, but it's time because, like, I was already going to buy a car this summer. It was a thing that I'd been already saving up for doing. So I was already, like, had some money saved up and stuff. But he blew his head gasket, and that is the death of cars of his age. And yeah, it's just sped up my my car buying needs. Yep. So I will be getting a car in a week or two.
It's taking car fixing out of the options for sure.
Yep, because I was wanting to save up for a Kia Soul, but I decided to, now I'm just going to get whatever's good that can run. yeah, and I want to name it a Star Wars name, but I'm thinking maybe after the Thrawn novel, I'm thinking Eli Vanto might be his name, because he's a good, reliable boy.
Wait till you get the car first to see what what color it is, see what its personality is before you go name it.
Like, I want to name it Eli, but I don't know until I drive it and get it and can, like, love on it and stuff. So
you're just into those 3-letter car names.
Eli Vanto from the Thrawn novel. So we'll see. If it's a blue, it's gonna be really hard not to name it Thrawn.
Right, exactly.
It'll be very hard not to name my car Thrawn.
Or if it's jet black, you got, like, it could be Anakin.
No, that's one thing, because I live in the South and it's so hot down here, I am not getting a black car.
Yeah, that's
idea. Already a given, because a black car in, like, 97
degrees. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, a black car in 97 degree weather is hell.
Yeah.
I had a friend, actually my best friend Billy, she had a black car, and in the summer, that car was unbearable. So that's already a thing I'm planning. I'm not getting a black car. Anything else is good. I don't even care if it's, like, puke.
If it's puke color, you can name it Yoda.
I actually, my second favorite color is mint green, and I've always wanted a mint green car. That's because my favorite color is pink, and I don't want a pink car. So I've always wanted a mint green car. And this lady I used to work with, who is just,
if you get a big old mint green car, you could call it Mom of the Hut.
No, Mom of the Hut was, I think, purple.
I think you're right.
I think she was purple, like Zero. But or maybe she was, like, brownish purple, or, like, brown with, like, purple accents. I just remember purple. But, no, this girl I didn't like that I used to work with had a mint green car, and I was just like, you don't deserve that car. It's too cute for you. I don't know. She didn't like me. I don't know why she didn't like me, because I was always nice to her. Because
you were coveting her car?
I don't know. I was always really nice to her, and she always hated me, probably because I was hired into her job. But she was stepping down anyway. She made a choice to step down for school, so they needed to hire a manager, and they hired me. And then she hated me. I don't know.
You just gotta face it, man. Some people are just gonna hate you.
Yeah.
So how it goes. It's how she rolls.
Too, because when it came to work, we actually worked really well together. But when it came, like, once, you know, we finished a task, she just didn't like me. So we actually worked great together. I don't know. Hey, we should talk about this episode. What do you think of Relics of the Old Republic?
I liked it. I think I enjoyed it a lot more this time because I was relaxed through it. I'll talk about that more when we get into the episode itself.
Yeah, for me, this was just a really fun episode. Last week was, like, had all the character stuff, and this was just, like, fun battle. So
right.
I don't have too many, like, super deep notes because, well, for one, any of the super deep notes that happened this week happened last week, and I know we talked about it with with John and Marie and Maria. By the way, John and Marie, Maria, thank you for coming on our show. We love you. I hope you guys enjoyed last week and us having guests. We already have another guest set up for later in the season, so I hope you enjoy that. So, but you ready to get into it?
I am ready.
All right. Relics of the Old Republic is the 19th episode of Star Wars Rebels, and it was released on October 21st, 2015. It was written by Stephen Melching and directed by Bosco Ng. Some extra information for you. For the Rebels recon of Wings of the Master, Pablo Hidalgo confirmed that Wolf and Gregor stayed on their walker home back on Silos, so they didn't go with them. The fifth brother is played by Philip Anthony Rodriguez. His other works include Days of Our Lives, Grimm, Warhammer 40K, Metal Gear Rising, and 24. I just have to say, I think somebody at Lucasfilms watches Days of Our Lives because, like, Christopher Sean, who plays Kaz on Resistance, is a Days of Our Lives actor. This is a Days of Our Lives actor. I think a couple people in Clone Wars were in Days of Our Lives. So somebody at Lucasfilms really likes Days of Our Lives because...
Or they're friends with the guy who's the agent for everybody on Days of Our Lives. And he's also a vocal coach agent or, vocal talent agent or something. You know, there's got to be something going on, though.
Yeah, because I know back in Clone Wars, there's a couple actors that were in Days of Our Lives. And then I think in last season Rebels, there was another actor that was on Days of Our Lives. And now this guy and then Christopher Sean in Resistance was too. So I'm like, somebody is watching Days. So if somebody needs their like Hope and Stefano, I'm actually named after Hope from Days of Our Lives. Did you know that?
No, I had no idea.
And my sister Jen is named after Jennifer, and my mom was like, they're biblical names, and me and Jen were like, no, we're named after Days of Our Lives characters. Hope and Jennifer, like, that's our names. Don't give us that bullshit. My mom always told me the day I was born she missed Days of Our Lives that day.
I see. Yeah.
So, yeah.
They can still be biblical names.
They are biblical names.
That's just not where she got them.
Yeah, because Jennifer and Hope are biblical names, but she also got them from that too. So, anyway, there's your Hope fact for the day. Where am I? The fifth brother is an unknown species, but his design was inspired by unused artwork generated for The Force Awakens. Inside the cockpit of the clone's AT-TE is an illustration of a Jupa. There are hash marks indicating that they have killed at least 12 Jupas. The AT-AT walker seen in this episode is a hybrid design seen in early illustrations by Ralph McQuarrie and Joe Johnson for The Empire Strikes Back. They're actually much bigger than the ones in Empire, to show that they're an earlier model of the final product years later. In the Rebels recon for this episode, Dave Filoni says that he always wanted to make a Clone Wars AT-TE fight an Imperial AT-AT in like a kaiju-like battle. He jokingly said that he could have made 21 minutes of just the walkers fighting. And then he said, what's the plot? Who cares about the plot? Just look how cool it is. And he also joked about the slow speed chase going, well, we don't call them walkers for nothing. And finally, Dee Bradley Baker said that he related to Rex more than any other character he's ever done, which is saying something because Dee Bradley Baker has over 500 acting credits currently under his belt.
Dee's nuts.
Ah, you've been waiting since Clone Wars to make that joke again. I know you made that joke back in Clone Wars.
I got him.
Yaddy! How you doing this week, Yoda?
Good.
What did you do this week? How's your week? Have you been watching like Game of Thrones on Dagobah? Like, is it like Game of Frogs where the frogs like try to kill
Game
each
of
other?
Frogs? Yes. Many frogs died on Game of Frogs.
And they ride the dragonflies to battle.
Ended up in Yoda's frog leg soup.
Oh, well, are you ready for your question?
Yes. Yoda gets wise now. Yes.
I will get back to
now for Yoda.
I will get back to listener questions next week, but in the nature of this week's episode, I wrote a question myself because it was just something I was curious. So, Yoda, you used to fight with clones during the Clone Wars, and you survived them trying to kill you during Order 66. So how do you feel this week about these old clones being back?
Yoda likes clones. Clones like Yoda's pep talks. You know?
So made
Yoda feel good.
Have you forgiven the clones for Order 66?
There was a thing in their heads. Yoda knows, you know. Their fault.
That's good. And I'm sure you would like clones that say like a brothel, like a clone brothel. But not with like these clones, just like cloning ladies.
Yoda tried to get them to clone Yoda. Yoda wanted his own Yoda clone.
But what if it ended up like Yaddle?
No. No.
Yeah, we could clone Yaddle, so you can have a lot of Yaddles.
Yoda would teach him to be just like Yoda. Just like Yoda.
But what if Yaddle could raise them? Because I know how much you don't like her.
Would know everything that Yoda wanted. That Yoda liked. And cute.
But what if the clones...
dare say Yoda.
What if the clones rebelled against you, though? And then your Yoda and Yaddle clones came after you?
No chip. No chip for Yoda's clone.
Unless they're potato chips?
No, but really, screw Yaddle.
Oh. Well, she's dead now, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yes.
All right, Yoda, I will see you next week.
Okay.
Bye.
There he goes.
Bye, Yoda. He always runs off into the sunset.
He gets weirder as he gets older.
I know. I wonder what happened between him and Yaddle.
I don't know. It was awkward. You know it was awkward.
What if they dated, Chris?
They probably did. You know something like that happened. Or Yoda tried. It sounds more like Yoda maybe tried to date Yaddle. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, because there's not a lot of their species that we know of.
Yeah, no. There was probably some painful humiliation in there somewhere.
Oh, he wanted to give her... Like, maybe, like, he wanted to, like, take care of her eggs, and she was like, no, my eggs are for someone else. I'm here with Wet Blanket Windu, and Wet Blanket Windu was like, my girl Yaddle. And Yoda was like, oh, you bitch.
That could have happened, yeah.
Or maybe, like, she was, like, not that way, and she was like, man, I really like this Aya Sakura. And Aya Sakura was like, well, I kind of like Qui-Gon. Not Qui-Gon, I kind of like Quinlan Vos. And she was like, well, I could like Quinlan Vos too. And they're like, okay, we'll like Quinlan Vos together. And then like Aya Sakura and like Yaddle dated for a short time. And then Yoda was like, can I watch? And they were like, no, Yoda, you're not invited. So he now wasn't invited to like the threesome party. And then Yoda was really sad because he really wanted to go to a threesome party and make it an orgy. And then it didn't happen. And Yaddle was like, ew, you're not allowed. And Yoda was like, you bitch. And then they hated each other.
It's like the low. This is like the lowest common denominator of like... fan fiction right here.
No.
Of like shipping right here.
No, I should read you some Megan's. Now let me say.
Low grade shipping.
This was written, like, Megan wrote a fan fiction as a joke called, where is it? It was written by Megan as a joke. And go, you stupid thing. And it's called Gibbs Bad Day, and it's Thrawn Invader. And she wrote it as a joke, and it's only 365 words around. But writing it as a farce, there actually says, it looked like two blueberries pushed close together or two hams that had been painted blue pumped rhythmically back and forth.
Okay. And yeah. Jeez, I gotta listen to that again when I edit this. Thanks, Hope.
You're welcome. But, no, Megan wrote it as a complete joke with her husband, and, like, they wrote this farce fan fiction. So, that is not lowest common denominator.
I hope it wasn't an inside joke.
No. It was, I don't know. They're kind of weird. But she's my best friend. Whatever. All right. Cap one.
All right. Nice segue.
More with Yoda and Yaddle's desperate breakup in the future of Jedi and Jedi. Act one.
Act one.
I need a drink. Hold on.
Yoda and Yaddle's WhatsApp debacle.
I'm sorry, what?
Yoda and Yaddle's WhatsApp debacle.
Their Tinder mishap.
Tinder mishap, yeah.
Their Bumble turned into a Bumble. He swiped right instead of swiped left, and she was like, "Why did you swipe left on me?" And he's like, "I meant to swipe right." Anyway. Act one.
Act one.
Last week, the Phoenix Squadron was left pretty ragged after Vader single-handedly took out their command ship, and they need allies. Actual Queen Ahsoka Tano is like, "Yo, I know some guys," and she whooped around to Kanan like, "You're gonna hate this real bad, bro, but I need you to trust my friend." And she sent the Ghost Crew off to find her friend. They get to a desert planet called Celos, because of plot reasons, Hera and Chopper have to stay behind, above orbit, in the Ghost, while Kanan, Zeb, Sabine, and Ezra take the minivan Phantom and head down to the surface of the planet. They follow a signal until they spot an old Clone Wars AT-TE walker. From here on out, it will be considered and called the Good Walker. The Imperial Walkers are now called the Evil Walkers, because there's a lot of walkers in this. So, the AT-TE is the Good Walker, and they land outside of it. And the door opens, and out walks Grunkle Rex, Wolf, Gregor, who are all retired old men who are there to fish and have a good time. And Kanan's like, "Yep, Ahsoka was right. I hate this." And the clones are like, "Holy shit, a Jedi!" And then Ezra and Rex spend the rest of the episode trying to make sure everyone doesn't kill each other. Meanwhile, Wolf panics and calls the Empire to turn the rebels in, so Alexander Kallus sends out a probe droid to check it out. To pass the time, our heroes decide to reenact Jaws, and they kill a big beast called a Jupa. They're all having a great time, and they kill the thing, and they plan to feast like kings that night. But uh-oh, the probe droid shows up, shoots their minivan, the Phantom, and lets the Empire know that they're there. With Kallus and his men coming in and no ride out of there, everyone is stuck. On to this week! Sabine is checking out the damage on the minivan, which isn't doing too great at the moment. The Empire is coming, and to make matters worse, there's a sandstorm coming in for them in the distance. To make up for riding out our heroes to the enemy last week, I realize why I can't read all this. I didn't edit it. That's why. Because I watched Game of Thrones instead. That's why I keep stumbling. I didn't edit this. Damn Game of Thrones. To make up to our heroes running them out to the enemies that week, and you can leave that in, Chris, Rex and the clones give Ezra a data disk with a list of old Clone Wars, Separatist, and Mandalorian bases in the Outer Rim to help them find a new base. Ezra asks again for them to join the fight, and Rex again says their war is over and they're retired. Kanan calls Hera for some good news, and to see if the Ghost is working yet. Hera spots a Star Destroyer as it comes out of hyperspace, and will come get them when she finishes repairs. She has to shut down all power so the Star Destroyer can't spot her. Back on the surface, the clones get a call from the Empire, and Wolf steps up to take the call since it was his fuck-up from last week. And Kallus is all like, "Yo, we're here! Where's the Rebels?" And Commander Wolf is like, "Ha ha ha ha! There's no Jedi here! Ha ha ha! Did I say Jedi? I meant, not Jedi!" And Rex slides in there like, "Have a good day, young man. Do you want a hard candy, even though I'm younger than you?" And Kallus pulls up a picture of the Phantom on the back of the clone ship, and they're caught. And Rex, a clone, says one of the best lines of the entire show, which is, "If you want to fight, you're going to have to bring a better class of soldiers than those stormtroopers." And Kallus is like, "Okay, let's fight." And it's a single TIE fighter that zips into the brawl. Rex and the clones pull out the big guns for Zeb and Sabine, while Kanan and Ezra use their lightsabers to protect the Phantom. Wolf is driving the clones' good walker and shows off how fast that the little good walker is as it moseys left and right. And Rex is in command, telling them how to fight and defend the walker. And Kanan is being all snarky that the clones aren't doing anything. And Rex is like, "Oh, you just watch us, young man." And he gives the rocket launcher to Gregor, the ex-commando, who takes out the TIE in one shot. and everyone is super impressed, and Ezra again tries to get them to join the Rebels. But Kanan shoots that down real fast because he's having really bad PTSD with the clones, and the sandstorm is getting closer to them, and there's a break in the Empire coming for them. So Kanan tells Sabine to get back to work and get the minivan fixed. Meanwhile, up in space, Catlas gives the command to prepare for a ground assault. And while they're waiting for the Empire and or the sandstorm to catch up, Grunkle Rex gives some time to Ezra to show him how to use the big guns. And Ezra asks about the Clone Wars. And Rex is like, girl, let me tell you about Anakin Skywalker. He was the best Jedi I ever, and I trusted him forever. And I hope he trusted me too. And Kanan's not down for any of this, but he's also trying to stop himself from getting involved with anything with the clones. Sabine thinks she has the Phantom ready to fly to at least get them out of there, but Ezra doesn't want to leave the clones behind to face the Empire, but Rex says it's their fault this all happened, and they will deal with it. But then, Zeb hears something that doesn't sound like it comes from a desert planet. They gaze out. And there are some Imperial AT-AT walkers coming in, very slowly coming in. What'd you think of Act 1?
Well, for walkers, they're jogging, but that's still pretty slow.
Yeah.
I liked it. Like I said, I was more relaxed this time because I think during this episode, the first time through, I thought this was just going to be sort of a...
Introducing the clones and then they'll all die.
And then they all gonna die at the end of this, you know, just sort of a one-off. Here's Rex, we find out what happened to him, he gets to die a heroic death. But like this time I got to relax because I knew that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. Some nice Empire Strikes Back music in it.
There's some nice Empire Strikes Back visuals too, like them looking through the binocs and seeing them in the distance.
Mm-hmm. And beautiful shot of the Star Destroyer over the desert. I like that.
I also really like the shot, I know I'm jumping on your notes, but where Hera's looking at it and like she's just floating through space and it's just kind of floating above her. I love like those kind of shots where you have like the big ship flying over the little ship. I love those shots.
Yeah, in space where you get sort of the scale of space. My only other note is this is a big facial hair episode for the animators. Lots of facial hair in this episode. That's all I got for part one.
Did you buy Kitty?
No, I didn't.
Did you hear just now? I forgot you were in here. Hold on, I need to let a kitty out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I hear.
There you go, babe. Something I wish I thought of last week, but with us having guests and stuff, I didn't think about it at the time. Because they reenacted Jaws last week, I thought of what if our buddy Paul Spataro from Is It Jaws podcast would actually review last week's episode and compare it to Jaws.
Yeah. I'll run it by him. We can do it like 2 years from now.
Yeah. But I just thought of that. I was like, oh, the Jaws last week would have been good for Is It Jaws. So I know I said this last week, but Rex started talking about like Imperial protocols this week, and it just again makes me wish we had a story about what it was like for him working in the Empire and like what he went through, even as just like kind of filling in, like was he willingly working with the other clones because he was with his brothers, or was he like there because he was just trying to survive and like trying to figure out this Empire thing? Like that's a story that I really want, is like Rex's little bit of time in the Empire that we know that he had.
Yeah, he was probably miserable.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, probably, because we know that they phased the clones out because they decommissioned them. And I just, that thought of, like, not only did all my friends die, and I had to let Ahsoka go, and, like, he probably assumes that Anakin is dead, and then he watches all his brothers get pretty much thrown out like garbage and lose their jobs that they were born to do and bred to do. Like, it would be a miserable story, but I want to see it / read it, and I want it from his point of view. Like, I want that story so bad. So, I just also love the scene where the clones were talking to, like, Callus through the phone call, and, like, the whole, like, you know, like, I hope you brought a better class of soldiers than the stormtroopers, because it's, you don't really, this is that in that time period where you can have, like, clone troopers and stormtroopers together. Because by the time you get to the regular original trilogy, there's really not any clone troopers around, and you don't have really stormtroopers. Like, we know that, like, some clone troopers help train stormtroopers, but we haven't really seen it on screen. And so it was like, the clones are all these, like, really experienced guys watching these young whippersnappers getting on their lawn. It's just, like, a really fun dynamic of, like, this, like, old guard versus, like, new school kind of, like, people and soldiers.
Yeah.
But you want to know what blew my mind?
Something blew your mind?
This blew my mind. I looked it up. Kallus is actually older than Rex and the other clones.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because they double-aged the clones. So I did the math. Like, Rex is, like, probably around 30, and Kallus is in his 40s. He was born around 42 to 44 BBY, while Rex was born in 35 BBY, because until Yavin the Times go forward, like, BC. So Kallus is older than Rex, which is insane. And I looked it up. Kanan and Rex are the exact same age. They were both born in 33 BBY. That's crazy. It blew my mind today.
Sucks being a clone.
Yep. They keep calling him these old man, but I'm like waiting for... I wish there was a line where Rex is like, we're the same age! But yeah, I started thinking about that today, because as I was writing the note where, like, Rex was just like, in my act one, he was like, thanks, Kallus, for coming. I'm going to give you a hard candy, blah, blah, blah. Something in the back of my mind clicked and went, Kallus is probably older than Rex. And I was like, nah, brain. And I was like, and my brain was like, uh-huh, look it up. And I looked it up, and sure enough, Kallus is older than Rex. And so I texted it to Megan, and Megan was just like, huh, I guess in Star Wars you really shouldn't judge things by looks.
It's not the years, it's the mileage.
Yep. So physically and mentally, he's definitely older. But if you're looking at just straight up at ages, Kallus is older than Rex, and that is insane. So that was my rabbit hole today in the middle of my notes. So, and with the scene where Rex is talking to Ezra and, like, he's showing him how to use the big gun, you know, when he looks at Ezra, I bet he's just seeing Ahsoka in the Clone Wars movie when the very first time they met and she was this, like, young little thing.
Little greenhorn.
Little shaver.
Whippersnapper.
I mean, he talks to him, to Ezra, the same way he talked to... Well, with Ahsoka, it was wartime, so... he talks to Ezra a little bit more warmly, but there's still a couple times where, like, he, like, kind of smiles at Ahsoka, like, ah, kid. Yeah. And it just really reminded me of that very first conversation they had where he's like, well, what I've learned is experience means everything. And she's just like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah, kid, stick with me. I'll take care of you. And I was like, and my last note is, I have really just a bunch of shallow notes. I don't have anything too deep this episode. Hearing Rex talk about Anakin in this episode makes me wish, because, you know, we've seen the whole series, and so I'm every time Rex talks about Anakin, I think about this. I wish there's at least some point where we find out, either later in the seasons, or maybe just, like, in another media, where he finds out that Vader was Anakin. And what that does to him.
Nobody's going to want to tell him that.
Yeah. And I'll probably bring up that very same note again in Twilight of the Apprentice, or around the end of season 2, where Ahsoka finds out. And because that's something that I want to know, is what was his reaction when he found that out? Because it does become public knowledge after Jedi, because they covered that. And I think it's the book Bloodlines, where Leia is running for, I think, a senator's position or for to be the head of the New Republic, and it comes out that Vader was her dad. I think it's Bloodlines. I'm not positive because I haven't read Bloodlines. I've just heard that through hearsay. But I just really want to know Rex's reactions to finding that out. And because, like, Anakin was his BFF, and, like, they were, like, bros. And I just want to know how much that crushed him.
I'm surprised Anakin didn't use him when he became Darth Vader and he worked for the Empire. He'd be like, yeah, give me those few clones that are left.
Actually, that was covered... Use him as my
special forces.
They talked about that in... I think it was maybe Timothy Zahn that talked about that. Maybe I was at a Comic-Con panel, but it might have been Dragon-Con last year. Because in the book Thrawn Alliances, Anakin doesn't use the 501st. He uses the First Legion. And Timothy Zahn was talking about that Vader chose to make this new Legion that wasn't clones because those clones are a tie to his past as Anakin, and he doesn't want to have anything that reminds him of Anakin.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and so, like, that's why he doesn't really use clones in the first Legion and why Zahn created the first Legion in the first place. And so the 501st is a completely different thing now.
I see.
That's all I have.
All right.
Now, ready for Act 2?
Act 2.
All right, Act 2. Three walkers are slowly moving towards them in the distance. The clones are checking out the walkers like, aww, how cute! They only have four legs on those things! Those walkers are adorable! And Ezra's like, I'm glad you guys are having such a great time right now, but they're here to kill us. And Rex gives the order for them to turn around and run. And Kanan is like, see, clones! Clones are bad! They are cowards, and clones are the worst. Which makes Rex go, nah, bro. We're gonna fight these guys on my terms. And he gives the order for Gregor to drop the Jupiter they killed in the last episode. And Gregor mourns because they spent so long finding Big Bongo, spending time hunting him, and now Gregor has to give him up. And with a sickening crunch, the Jupiter drops, and Wolf turns the walker around to run. And Kallus sees that and makes all the evil walkers start shooting at them. Remember, if I say good walker, it's the clones. If I say evil walkers, it's the Empire, because there's just a lot of walkers in this. And I don't feel like saying AT-AT and A-T-T-E, because that's a lot of letters. So there's good walkers and evil walkers. Here we go. Sabine says that the Phantom is ready to fly, but now with the evil walkers, they would get easily shot down. But Rex has a plan. They're going to head into the sandstorm and let the evil walkers follow. Everyone, including the heroes, would all be blind with no sensors, but Rex says that a Jedi could totally see. Reluctantly, Kanan agrees, and they all head inside the good walker. And Kallus is like, oh, ho, they think that they can lose me. Full speed ahead, which means that they go from casually strolling to a brisk pace, and they all go into the sandstorm. Everyone is now swallowed up in the sand, so our heroes know that they have to make this count. Sabine mentions that the evil walkers have a weakness in the neck, so that's their target. And Kallus is doing his military strategy too, as our heroes are working on their plan, and Kallus is moving around in different positions too. And Kanan is all into this plan, and he taps into the Force. It's tense as everyone is moving around each other in the storm, and nobody can really see each other, and there's like a lot of sand and some lights and stuff. And Kanan gives the order to stop, and they wait as the evil walkers move past them. But Kallus is in on this chess match, and he changes up his moves to make Kanan give the order to move too. And it's a very slow game as they're all just circling each other. And Kanan senses that they're completely surrounded. Which Rex is totally digging this plan, because now they're all close enough to shoot at least one of them. And Kanan says that Ezra should take the shot. And Ezra's like, yeah, let's pick the 15-year-old kid who has very little Jedi training over three Clone Wars veterans, one who is a commando, one who was a captain, and one who was a commander. Yeah, let's pick me over the Lasat Honor Guard, or over the Mandalorian weapons expert, or... oh yeah, the better trained Jedi than me. That's a great idea, Master. Can't you hear my sarcasm? But Rex is like, no, this is a good idea. Because their plan needs two Jedi. One to take the shot, which is Ezra, and the other one to help them run away, who is Kanan. And this all makes more sense with that context. And so it's not just Ezra being the protagonist-itis that he has popping up again. And Rex gives Ezra his Clone Wars helmet. And I started crying when I saw it. Meanwhile, just up in space, we touch base with Hera, who is tired of waiting and turns on Chopper to work on repairs. Into Back 2!
I don't have a lot of notes for this.
Yeah, me neither. Really. I mean, because that's the thing. Like, it's all just a fight, so it's all just looks really cool. There's not a lot of, like, character stuff going on, though.
I like the part where my only character note is the part where Rex snaps into the, sir, yes, sir.
Yeah.
It's like responding to a Jedi. But basically this is sort of the like a mixture of the Walker version of the asteroid field in Empire Strikes Back when they were hiding in the asteroid field in Star Trek II where they're fighting they fly into a nebula to fight Khan Blind, the original Star Trek II. And it's cool. Ezra gets his J-Guys in this episode.
That's actually one of my notes in, like, really big letters. It says, Rex gave Ezra his helmet to use. Just in really big, like, all caps letters.
And there's some nice magical force music in this. And now that you've mentioned it, now I can't help but notice all the low-level Imperials with their cap, with their identical faces and their caps pulled over their faces to hide the fact.
It's kind of unnerving, though, because they're just like these guys.
Drones.
Yeah, and it's like when you think about it, like, practically, like, it makes sense because it's a way for them to save money. But if you think about it, like, metaphorically, like, in the Empire, like, all these people, like, don't matter. They're just pawns to, like, the bigger people with faces.
Yep. Either that or they're all related. Some serious nepotism in the Empire.
It's the Nurse Joy and the Officer Jenny of the Empire.
Yeah.
If you follow Pokemon, you know what that means. But yeah, they're the Nurse Joys and the Officer Jennys of the Empire.
But that's all I got for part two.
For me, my first note is Gregor and Big Bongo, the love story that will now never happen.
Yeah.
He had to let go of Big Bongo.
Sometimes you got to make that sacrifice.
I kind of wish, like, they sacrifices. Dropped it, though, while they were turning, because then, like, they would have dropped this, like, big snake thing, like, right in the path of the walkers, so at least would slow down the walkers for, like, 5 minutes as they walked around it.
Or they slipped on it like a banana peel.
That would have been hilarious. Just like, whoa! I will say that when they drop Big Bongo, though, it makes a really gross crunching sound. It kind of sounds like stepping on a cockroach.
What a waste of Big Bongo's life, poor guy.
I know. And that was going to be, like, their food. You know, I bet they went back for it, you know, since Gregor and Wolf stayed behind. You know they went back for that thing.
Oh, he's all bloated up.
It probably wouldn't take them that long. They didn't go that far. True. Maybe, like, a couple miles. They might have had to shoo off some, like, vultures.
Yeah, that's true. Space vultures.
Yeah, but that was like a year's worth of food, and it was going to blow anyway. They were going to carry it on the side of their house for like a year.
Year's worth of food without Rex there, too.
Yeah, and the more I think about this is just really gross, because that thing would probably start smelling as they eat it and stuff, and what the hell? Oh, there's a moth hitting my window. I just kept hearing, that's a moth hitting my window. But yeah, like, the more I think about, like, the actual concept of Big Bongo and how they would have, like, kept it on the side of their house as it rotted and stuff, it's just gross. Maybe it has, like, a 5-day shelf life and they spend that time just butchering it and, like, freezing some and, like,
making... Oh, if they have a big freezer, yeah, on board, that's all I'm saying.
Like, putting, like, Big Bongo strips on top of the walker so it can dry out and make...
Yeah, that's probably what they do, is dehydrate it. They probably flap it out, like, on the stretched out rope to dry it out in the sun. It probably would dries out pretty fast in that planet.
And we don't know much about Silos. Like, maybe there's, like, a little town nearby and you can, like, roll in with your, like, your jupas and, like, they'll butcher it for you
for
a price and keep some of it. I mean, we don't know what Silos does. We only saw about 5 miles worth of desert. We don't know. Maybe, like, the rest of the planet is, like, full of people. My next note is, even after everything from last episode and this episode and Kanan being such a butthead to him, I love how trusting Rex is of Kanan, because Rex trusts the Jedi's ability and he trusts the Jedi in general and he knows what they can do. So, like, even though, like, Kanan has been nothing but a kind of a jerk to Rex's entire, like, 2-part arc, Rex trusts him because he knows what they can do. And I just really like that moment of Rex where he's just like, yeah, this is your call, Kanan. We're in your hands. And Kanan's just like, okay.
It might be a little PTSD brainwashy too, you know, from, like, when he went into the sir, yes, sir, you know?
Yeah. Was it? No, it was last episode where Kanan was like, don't call me a general. I'm not a general.
Yeah.
So, But, like, I love that moment. So there's really two fights in this act. There's the slow chase scene across the desert, and then there's the sandstorm. So, first of all, like, I really like the slow chase scene across the desert, with the walkers in the background, and, like, the good walker is, like, running away from them. It just feels like classic Star Wars. Just that image of them. And that's before the sandstorm comes in, when they're still out in the open. Like, that just feels like really classic Star Wars, just both visually and, like, the look and the feeling and the writing. I love that, like, little moment.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, this is and pretty then, much the meat of the whole show, is that battle.
Yeah, and then once they get into the sandstorm, it's a different kind of fight, and it's very different, and I like how it's different within the sandstorm, too. Like, the music changes, like, when Kanan is using the Force, and a lot of the visuals are different, too, because unlike them being in the open, I love, like, the visuals of, like, not really quite being able to see each other, and, like, you have the lights of, like, the evil walkers that you can, like, kind of see above them looming around, and it's so, like, there's so much tension there, because, you know, they're these little guys, and they're just kind of, like, slipping around their feet while these, like, big walkers are, like, almost like monsters, like, looming through in the background. Like, it's the visuals of the sandstorm half of the fight is really nice, too.
If I were there, I would have had the Jedis hop right off and climb right up those walkers and chuck bombs in them like an Empire.
Or at least cut off the legs.
Yeah, you could do that, too.
But the thing is that they could have gotten lost in the sandstorm, too. Like, really, you could only send, like, one of them so the other one can, like, send
them back.
Well,
they're Jedi, yeah. They're Jedi. They would have to use the Force to navigate.
Yeah.
They could put on blast helmets.
Yeah. And then the other half of the walker scene in the sandstorm I like is it actually shows, like, kind of what a good tactician Kallus is. Because you saw him, like, he got there and he was like, we should have found them by now. We need a turn. And so, like he is, like, adjusting his movements and his counters, like, kind of, like, he knows roughly how far ahead they were, and he's like, okay, we haven't found them yet. Like, we need to move and turn. You know, let's move, like, position. Like, he's like, I know they're around here. So I like that second half of that scene, too, because we actually got to see kind of what a good strategist that Kallus is as well, and I thought that was a really nice moment for his character.
Yeah, he had to actually be a challenge to them, you know.
Yeah, and he was a good challenge. Kind of gets wasted at the end when he has to turn tail and run, but.
No, that's sort of been the theme through the show so far. So.
Yeah, well, you know, not usually they run away from him. Like,
that's
true. That's really the first time that he had to run away from them. Because usually they're the ones that get away, and, like, he's the one that's, like, hanging on the back of a van as they fly off or something. But that was the first time, like, he was like, let's get on a speeder and run. Pew! So, yeah. And it kind of kills, like, the really, like, cool tactician version that he has, like, in the scene. So, so at first, when they were all like, we're going to give Ezra the shot, the very important shot to get us out of this, I had a moment where I kind of rolled my eyes because I was like, Ezra's the protagonist, and of course Kanan's gonna make this a teaching moment, but he's 15 years old, and, like, really there's somebody else that would, like, should be taking this shot. But at least then, like, we had Rex explain it. And I really like that, like, instead of making this, like, very tropey and antagonist, like, or a protagonist where, like, Ezra's the hero, so of course he has to take the shot because he's the main character. But, like, Rex explains it, like, we need you out there because we need Kanan in here to drive us. And so I'm glad that they, like, didn't go down that trope. And they actually gave an explanation of that moment, because I started rolling my eyes at it, and then I stopped when Rex talked to him. I like Rex in this episode, because every stupid thing they come up with that's very kind of Jedi bullshitty, like, he gives a practical reason, and I'm just like, oh, yeah. It's not Jedi bullshitty, because Rex knows his Jedi. That's the thing. Like, Rex knows the Jedi.
He knows how to use a good Jedi. Yeah.
He does know how to use a good Jedi, and he had to put up with Anakin, so... Anakin, the most bullshitty of Jedi, so Rex knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to Megan today, because she finished the first run of the Vader comics, and so I sent her a long time ago the first two books of the Charles Soule run that I love so much that we covered on the show and has tied in with Rebels. And we were talking about how, like, much of a drama queen Darth Vader really is. Because, like, Don't get us wrong. And we talked about this when we talked Siege of Lothal, too. Like, Vader is scary, but he's also still deep down Anakin Skywalker, who is a bitchy little drama queen. And just little things like, director Krennic, don't choke on your aspirations. And, like, his, like cape flares and, like, his dramatic, like, hand-holdings and stuff. Like, Anakin Skywalker is a drama queen. So, of course, Rex knows how to put up with, like, a 15-year-old and half a Jedi because he had to deal with Anakin and Ahsoka, too, because Ahsoka was not easy on him either. Rex is the best dad. And Obi-Wan, too. Obi-Wan put Rex through a little bit of crap here and there, now that I think about it. They went through the slaver arc together as slaves, so. Poor Rex. Ezra and Kanan are nothing.
He did okay for a clone.
He did really okay.
Tell the truth. For a clone, he did all right.
Though, you know, after, like, because I think, like, Anakin put him through so much and, like, trained him so much, that's probably why he survived.
Made it to Return of the Jedi, at least.
Yeah, because he, I mean, look at someone like, we often compare, like, Cody to Rex. Like, Cody was, like, very by the books and very standard and stuff like that. And, like, we know that Cody went, like, full Imperial. And I think there's a reason that we don't see Cody here with Rex. You know, these were, like, you know, Gregor is losing his mind and Wolf has, like, really strong PTSD. But Wolf was, had his own kind of personality, too. Like, we saw a little bit of it in the Clone Wars where he was, like, very sarcastic and, like, eye-rolling and stuff like that. So these are three clones who really had, like, really strong personalities that we know have survived and we know that, like, made it through and stuff. But we only hear mention of Cody, but we don't see Cody, which is, again, why I wish that we had some background, because I have to wonder if Rex and Cody actually had a bit of a fallout, because Cody was just so strict and by the books as Obi-Wan's clone that I could see him not wanting to leave the Empire with Rex and wanting to stay and Rex wanting to leave and them having that fallout. So
if they even had any relationship with each other.
Well, we know that they were friends. Like, they were paired together so much in Clone Wars, and we know that they were friends and they were close. And we see later in Rebels that, like, Rex has PTSD and even, like, screams out for Cody's name at times. So, like, we know that they had a relationship. But I that's, again, just a story I would love to see of what happened in that time period. Like, I think that's a very rich time period we have. Maybe we'll get in Season 7.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
That could be something that we'll see, like, at the end of Season 7 when they do Order, like, Siege of Mandalore. So. Oh, my God, if I have to watch that. Oh, my God. I'm not going to be okay. I won't be okay, Chris.
You'll
oh, my
be
God.
Right.
I almost just, like, threw up a little bit in my mouth. Oh, my God. I just now nervous. Oh, God. I'll cry if I have to watch that. I'll cry, Chris. I'll cry. Chris, I don't want to watch Cody and Rex have a fallout.
Yes, you do.
Well, I really do. Yeah, I really do.
But it will hurt.
I do want to watch it, but it will hurt me on a deep personal level. But yeah, I just feel like, the more I think about it, like, really all the bullshit that Anakin and Ahsoka put Rex through, like, put him in this position to be here and survive. While I think other clones like Cody, there's a reason that they're not here. I'm guessing you're agreeing with me.
I am, yes. Okay.
All right. Act 3?
Act 3, I'm ready.
All right. Act 3. It's time for our heroes to put their crazy plan in motion. Ezra and Sabine go outside in the sandstorm while everyone gets ready inside. Kanan instructs Ezra roughly where to shoot, but Ezra's pulling a Luke Skywalker and he's trying to use the scanners at first. But Kanan is his Obi-Wan and tells Ezra to trust the Force. And then Ezra takes off his helmet, probably gets a mouthful and eyeful of sand, and he takes the shot. And he nails one of the evil walkers right in the neck, which gives them an opening. Kanan commands the full speed ahead, and Wolf heads for the opening. But Kallus is on that shit too, and he picks up their energy readings and shoots and follows them. During all this, up in space, Admiral Constantine has been waiting to hear back from Agent Kallus to provide air support, but they get a message from Lord Vader himself. They're supposed to leave immediately to meet up with him with a shuttle, and Hera watches as the Star Destroyer turns and jumps to hyperspace. and she and Chopper are almost done with their repairs. Our heroes finally emerge out of the sandstorm, while the evil walkers are still behind in the storm. This is a window for Space Family to leave on the Phantom and not get shot down. But Ezra doesn't want to leave the clones, but Kanan says they have to get the information about possible bases back to the Rebels. Ezra shoots back that half of the mission was also bringing back Rex. But Rex says that they're covering the Space Family's retreat, and Kanan, for once, bro nods him and gets on the Phantom. And Ezra sadly gives Rex back his helmet, and the kid feels like shit as he boards the Phantom. Moments later, it takes off and flies away. Minivan, away! Rex orders to face the other two evil walkers, just now coming out of the sandstorm. Callus, who doesn't know that Constantine has left, lets the Phantom get away. And he wants to deal with these pesky clones himself and put them in their place. And the clones are ready to have a really good time, and Wolf howls, and they move in, cannon blazing, and it's clone troopers versus stormtroopers. Meanwhile, Ezra continues to feel like shit, leaving the clones behind, and he starts guilting Kanan that they're leaving the clones to die. And back with the fighting, the clones are not giving up, even when they're taking heavy fire. Rex is being super inspirational, just like he used to during the Clone Wars. And Wolf rams the good walker into one of the evil walkers, and Callus is like, "This is not British fighting! They have lost their minds!" And Ezra continues to guilt trip Kanan by throwing out that Ahsoka was Rex's friend, and Kanan's like, "Damn it, kid! Stop making me a good person!" "Fine, we'll go back and help the clones! If that's what you really want, we'll go back and help the clones, Ezra!" And the clones are slowly losing, and Rex is like, "Come out of there and fight us like men!" And Callus gives his best Mortal Kombat.
"Finish him!"
But the Phantom zooms in, and Kanan, Ezra, and Zeb drop out of the other walker, or drop on top of the other walker. And they cut open the door, knock out the pilots, and take over the second evil walker. And Rex just watches in wonder, remembering the good old days. Shooting up Callus' walker, Rex gets his one shot and takes it out by blowing Callus' ship down at the neck. And Callus pulls a General Grievous, abandons ships, and zooms away on a speeder. The clones climb out of their good walker, sees our heroes, and salutes their new Jedi. And Kanan is really uncomfortable. But then, Hera shows up to pick up all the kids. Elsewhere in space, after abandoning Agent Callus without a warning, Constantine meets with the shuttle. He's expecting it to be Lord Vader, but instead, we meet a brand new Inquisitor, the Fifth Brother. And Constantine is like, "Do you realize that me leaving the fight could have left Agent Callus in a lot of trouble?" And the Fifth Brother's like, "Yeah, I don't give a fuck, bro. I'm here for my mission. Get it out of my way, tiny man, because I have to clean up for you and Agent Callus' failures. And I wouldn't be here if you guys did your damn job. Bye!" And with no more fucks to give, the Fifth Brother moseys off, and Constantine is really grumpy. But none of that matters, because the episode ends with the Ghost Crew, and they bring back Rex to the Phoenix Squadron. And Rex is like, "Hey, Ahsoka!" And Ahsoka's like, "Oh my god, you're old!" And he's like, "You're old too!" And then they hug, and it's wonderful, and they joke with each other, and they're so lovely together and wonderful, and I cried very hard the very first time I saw this scene, because they're hugging and they haven't been together in so long, and I still get misty when Rex joins the Rebels, so mission accomplished, the end. What'd you think of Act 3?
I liked it. I thought it was a little bit of a, got a little pissed with the Darth Vader cop-out. I was sort of hoping for a little more Darth Vader, but we get a Inquisitor, sort of a little bait and switch. But I like the visceral aspect of the walker battle in this, of things crunching into each other and stuff. So that was a lot of fun.
I just like the little lines of like, "Yeah, let's go get them with their four legs."
But that's all I really had. I got a little lump on my throat too. That's about all the notes I got for it though. Good battle. I like good battles.
Yeah. Wow, I thought you would have, like, more about, like, episode 4 stuff. Well, that's okay, I have notes. So there's some nice episode callbacks in the sandstorm fight, where Ezra is trying to use the scanners, but he ends up having to shoot the walkers with the Force, just how Luke had to do that with the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a nice callback. I've started noticing this season, people's skins have a lot more detail. It's just like little things, like when they're up close with like Rex or in the clones, like you can see like all the freckles on like Rex's neck and stuff. And I just noticed
age spots. Yeah.
And I noticed for the very first time in this episode, Constantine has a really faded mole on his cheek. And it took me a second because at first I thought it was a smudge on my screen. And then, like, he moved his head and it moved with his head. And I was like, oh, he has a mole. So there's, like, really nice kind of, like, detail skin work happening this season. And so we started seeing a little bit of it last season. But this season they really upped that. So it's, like, just really nice details with the animation.
Nice skin work, guys.
Nice skin work. Skin.
They've been working out at Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh, why did you have to bring that back? I don't even remember what it was. A later episode of Clone Wars that you brought that up for me the first time, and
come join us at Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh, now you have me like looking at my windows. Don't do that to me. Don't do that. Anyway, so there's so many like little clone things that I love in this episode. Like Wolf used to be part of the Wolf Pack when he was under Plo Koon. So like him howling is just so appropriate and I love it. And they just have so much pride in what they're doing. Cause like, this is what they're made for. They're made to be soldiers. They're made to fight and they're having a really good time. And it's also kind of brilliant on the writing side because at first Rex wasn't going to help them fight the Empire with Ezra. But once he got to fighting and, like, got really into the battle and, like, fell back into those motions, like, I feel like that's what made Rex join.
So well, he also expected that he was going to be dead, too. He thought he was making his last stand, and then he was just like, well, hey, might as well, you know?
Yeah. And so I have to wonder what would have happened in this episode if the Empire didn't show up, if Rex would have still gone with them.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah. I actually think the Empire being there and fighting the Empire is what pushed his hand at going, yeah, I can still do this. Yeah, I can. So Kallus's big flaw is he totally underestimated the clones. Absolutely underestimated them.
Because the That's thing is, his big flaw so far all through the whole thing is he underestimates everybody.
Yeah. Because you see him kind of like through season one, like he's definitely learning and... You know, he's learning how to handle the Jedi better and stuff like that. And especially it helped him having the Grand Inquisitor there because the Grand Inquisitor could really handle the Jedi. And we saw that Kallus kept getting closer and closer and closer to, like, capturing them. But, like, this time, like, he just flat out underestimated them because the clones were made to be soldiers. He was taught how to be a soldier, and that's a big difference. When you're born and bred and raised that way, and he's probably been doing this, like, maybe just his adult life. That's a huge difference in fighting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And I also think that's a part of it. Like, I think he was probably also expecting, like, he'd show up and be like, the Empire's here, bend to our will. And the clones were like, fuck you, middle finger. And I don't think he was expecting that either.
Yeah, he's defeated by his own hubris pretty much all the time lately. Well, especially through the first season.
Yeah. I'm also super proud of Kanan for coming around and helping the clones on this one. Go, Kanan. But actually, to jump to my very last note, since I'm talking about Kanan, I also like that this doesn't resolve how he feels about clones, which we see in the final scene where he's like, yeah, I still don't like you, Rex. And Rex is like, that's cool. I'm with Ahsoka now. Bye.
Right, exactly. Who cares?
But I do like that they didn't make this, like, because of these two episodes, like, Kanan is magically okay with clones, and that it's still going to be a continued storyline. So, like, it's just really nice writing that in two episodes it didn't have, like, a nice little bow on top. So.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my absolute favorite details in this episode, and it's actually one of my favorite moments of the entire series, and it's so... Because it's one of my favorite visual moments of the entire series, I should say. And because it's so small and it's so quick, but it's like it's a detail that is kind of needed and it's nice. So when the Phantom swoops up and Ezra and Kanan and Zeb drop out of the Phantom, they land on the walker. Kanan and Ezra are both holding their hands up and they're both looking at Zeb because they're holding Zeb in the Force as they're falling. And it's just so quick. And it's one of those, like, nice moments that, like, if they would have just jumped, Ezra, like, Zeb probably would have hurt himself. But, like, the Jedi are helping control his fall too. And it's such like just a little detail. And I love that detail. And we saw it a couple times in Clone Wars. Like if somebody was falling, like Ezra and Anakin, I think it was the episode on Geonosis where they had to get over the wall. Like they helped control like Rex's fall down. The exact same way. And it's kind of a nice callback to that too, now that I think about it and say it out loud. Because this is a Rex episode.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Here's a gripe. Are you ready?
Okay.
Other than almost getting eaten by a Joopa, what does Zeb do in these two episodes?
I don't think Zeb has taken a back seat in this one. He's very similar in a lot of surface ways to Rex. And he's sort of got the accent. He's a big, scrappy guy. I think they kept him in the background in this to focus more on Rex.
Yeah. I would have almost rather have Zeb with Hera to at least help her fix the ship.
Uh-huh.
I think that would have been
they just might as well. But then, you know, I mean, the whole thing with the Joopa was like the comedy centerpiece of the last episode, so.
Yeah, but they could have done that with anybody.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, but it makes sense to do it with the big mouthy guy, you know?
Yeah, because like outside of that, like Zeb really doesn't do anything in these two episodes. I think he only has like two or three lines. And the reason I bring this up is unlike Chopper, because Chopper's not supposed to have big character arcs. But Zeb is really the only main cast member that from about this point on, because he was really good in season one. They did really good, like, weaving his storylines into the main storylines, like, especially early on, like, with him and Callus and finding out about his people and stuff. And starting in season two, after the Honorable Ones, Zeb really takes a backseat the rest of the series, which is really sad because, A, he's one of the main cast members, and B, he's one of my favorite characters. But kind of after the Honorable Ones, the story really focuses on Ezra and Sabine, which isn't a bad thing because I really like what they do, especially with Sabine. Sabine gets some really awesome, amazing stories. And it's just one of those things that from about here on out, like Zeb just really takes a huge backseat for the rest of the series outside of like a handful of episodes here and there.
Well, and he gets two big sort of character things going forward, you know, and that's pretty good. But otherwise, he just becomes a background character,
which makes me really bummed. And like, I think
there's only so much time to develop everybody, you know?
Yeah. And I can't remember where I talked about this, but I remember I mentioned it that I wish at least in season four, we had a scene with Callus and Zeb. Callus and Zeb don't have a scene together where they actually talk about Callus defecting until like the finale where they're together. And so like that's one of my like pet peeves of the series as a whole is they start really strong with Zeb and he has some really good episodes, like Honorable Ones. It's a really good episode, but then he really just doesn't do much for a lot of the series when he started off so strong in season one where they did a really good job weaving. And there's that one with the Lasats. I forgot about that episode.
Yep.
But I mean, like, for example, Hera, great job weaving her character in. Sabine gets some really good arts. Of course, the show's about Ezra because he's the main character. And, of course, Kanan gets all these arts. And Chopper's not supposed to change. He's not supposed to have these big arcs. Zeb is the only one of the main characters that doesn't have that really going forward. And it really kind of peeves me a little bit because he's one of my favorite characters. And it kind of starts around this point.
I think the two that he gets coming up in the future are about all that you could they're pretty big in the scope of his life, so
I think it's season four, it's where he's left on base with AP5 and Chopper and like they find a droid who's actually a bomb. Like I remember seeing that, I was so excited. I was like, yeah, we finally get a Zeb episode. I was so excited. And it's an okay episode. It's just not a great episode. And I'm like, you could have had, like, an adventure with him and Callus in this spot to where, like, they reaffirm, like, Callus is a rebel and, like, Zeb and stuff like that. Like, I just wish they kind of handled his story differently because he's a really good character and he starts moving more and more into the background. So that's probably about my only pet peeve of this episode. So
yeah, not bad.
So my other big note is we have an Inquisitor. So of course I'm excited because I love my Inquisitors. Because we didn't get too much story-wise with the Grand Inquisitor last season, my Grande, rest in peace, I miss you, I'm going to try and piece together as much as I can in this series about how Imperials like Constantine thinks of the Inquisitorius and vice versa, and try to like fill in these gaps that we don't actually get. So in this episode, a lot how Grande acted towards Constantine, the fifth brother really doesn't care about this Imperial business. He's there for his shit and his Jedi training. And I just still love this idea of these force users that kind of like work on the outskirts of the Imperial law and like their structure and how they work. And the Imperials just have to sort of deal with them. And they all don't like them. And so I just love that like moment where like Constantine was like, well, you fucked up my mission. And the fifth brother was like, I don't really care. Bye. So I just like, I love this like relationship between like Imperials and these like dark side force users, because I just find that just such a fascinating relationship. And I just wish they would give us more.
They're just forced to deal with them because they're the Emperor's boys, you know? They're all part of that weird stuff that the Emperor likes and the Darth Vader stuff. So they have to put up with them because the boss, you know, they're in with the boss, but they don't like them because they creep them out. They're creepy.
Yeah. And I wrote this jokingly. Maybe they just all hate Constantine because Grande was like a little shit towards Constantine. And now the fifth brother's a little shit towards Constantine. Yeah. So maybe it's just Constantine.
He might just like bring that out in people.
Yeah. And that's a joke because we know that Callus wasn't a fan of Grande, so... But then I just started realizing there might be some speciesism going on, because I started thinking about this series and the Inquisitors that we see in the Darth Vader comic. There are no humans Inquisitors that we know of at this point. There are no human Inquisitors. And I started, like, the closest we get is the 10th brother, who is in the Vader comics and the Mace Windu comics, who looks like a human, but he's actually a species called Amira Luka. Where he looks human, but he doesn't have eyes. And so he's actually a Mira Luka, and he's not a human. And I find that really interesting. Like, maybe there's also this whole, like, undertale of, like, speciesism going down, too, because the Empire is, like, so human. And, like, they're supposed to be, like, these, like, human people, and there's not really a lot of aliens in the Empire. And so I just, like, maybe that's another layer of why they don't. I'm pulling at straws because Rebels doesn't give us any background story on this guy. So I am making that shit up. They hate them because they're specious, Chris. The Inquisitors just want to be loved and to kill Jedi.
I just think they use aliens because aliens look creepier. They can make them look creepier. They can give them weird eyes and strange-shaped heads and stuff.
And I just realized they're, like, not main characters because all the main characters are humans. Yeah, if they were main characters, then they would be humans, like Vader. So, but yeah, don't blame me. The Rebels doesn't give us a lot about background stuff, so I have to like put it together myself, what I feel. But yeah, as of
right
now,
that's part of the fun of it.
I know. But yeah, as of right now, recording this, like, there are no human Inquisitors that we know of. So, and finally, in big words and big capital letters, I wrote Rex and Ahsoka's hug at the end. It's wonderful. And how he smiles at her, and how she just throws himself into the hug, and they just hug each other, and she just looks so relieved as she's hugging him. She looks so relieved, and he hugs her so tight, and I don't even think they ever hugged in Clone Wars. And I was wrong a few weeks ago, because I said something about like how people don't hug each other in Clone Wars. Ahsoka was hugged by Anakin, and she hugged Plo Koon, and Plo Koon hugged her back. And I only know that because I came across a gift set of it on Tumblr, where they had like those scenes where Ahsoka got hugs. And I was like, at least Ahsoka got hugs. That's why she's so balanced and fine, because someone hugged her. So that's all I have for the episode.
All right, you ready to score this up?
I did a lot of talking this episode.
I don't know. Not any more than usual. I don't think.
Okay. I feel like you didn't have a lot of points to like talk with me on. You didn't counter any of my points, so.
I didn't really have much to scrap with you about on this one. I like this episode a lot.
This episode a lot too, but there's not. It's just a resolution of last week.
I mean, a lot of what there was to talk about was talked about in last week, and we did it like nice and in depth because we had guests and we had extra people to talk about it too. So we get it. I mean, this one really was just like a lot of surface elements. But that being said, I actually scored this one, I think. Let me look at my score. Yeah, I scored this one half a point higher. I was going to score it the same as the last one, which was an 8.5, but I gave it a 9 just for getting a lumpy throat at the end.
Yeah.
I got a lumpy throat. I got a legit lumpy throat at the end of it, so bumps it up to a 9.
I think I scored last week's higher than I scored this week's. Because for me, like, you guys know me, I'm a character person. Like, when there's, like, really good character work going on and stuff like that, that's, like, my catnip. And this episode's just a hell of a lot of fun. It's just a fun episode. It's just freaking awesome. It's a fight from beginning to end. I love the clone troopers versus the stormtroopers, the old guard versus the new guard. And we got a new Inquisitor, which always makes me happy. And Rex and Ahsoka are reunited, and it's just such a nice moment. I got lumpy throat, too. Like, the first time I watched this episode, I was crying when they got together. Like, when they were together again. Like, I was crying. But I still get kind of misty, and it just makes me so happy. But yeah, like, this episode's just, like, doesn't have, like, the really deep character moments that last week had. I think last week it touches a little bit more. But overall, this is just a lot of fun to watch. So I give it an 8.5 out of 10. I think last week I scored it a 9.
I think you did. I think we like flipped scores between the two episodes.
Yeah. We recorded so long ago.
I know, and all out of order. It's all confusing. And we're getting close to being back into well, now we are. Now, actually, in recording time, we're actually back on
regular schedule. So you guys know, because we had guests last week, our recording schedule was Jonna Marie and her mom, the season one wrap-up, Celebration. My Thrawn panel I recorded at 221 BCon. Then we went back and we did Siege of Lothal, and now this episode.
Right. And so we skipped over an episode to this one.
Yeah, we've been out of order for about 6 episodes.
Yeah, but no, next week's actually the next episode coming up, so we're all good now. We're all back in. Everything's normal now.
Everything's normal now. And I actually, if I remember correctly, I like next week's episode because they introduced the Seventh Sister, who is one of my favorites.
I got so confused with our order that I've already watched and taken notes on the last next week's episode.
Yeah.
I thought we were doing it last week. So, yeah.
So, yeah, we're finally back on track.
Yep.
That was our crazy last 6 weeks that we did. So, the last month has been crazy week at Jagas and Jedi. So, well, as always, we'd love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on iTunes, because when you rate and review us on iTunes, it helps people find the show. So if you like us, give us a little rate and review on iTunes. This week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, Call to Action. Just so you know, Chris, there's a line separating the comments. The first half is a conversation, and the second half is a conversation, is a completely different conversation.
It's a different one. Okay.
Yeah, so just so you know. But there you go.
All right, so the first one we got here is from Gene Hendricks, and it says, I agree that Vader and Tarkin are pretty much on the same level, but Vader obeys Tarkin's orders in Star Wars, so that would mean that the Inquisitors would also obey Tarkin. That's why having Tarkin come back in order for everyone around in this episode... Oh, okay, never mind. Okay, now I know how to read it. That's why having Tarkin come in and order everyone around in this episode did not surprise me in the least.
I think this is the episode where I was like, how is everyone ranked?
He's got to come in and establish the pecking order. That's how it works with dicks like him.
Yeah.
All right, the next one's from Aaron Henley. He says, I always pictured Tarkin at the top of the Imperial military. Since we never heard the rank Grand Moff used again with him being Palpatine's left hand and with Vader being his right. Rogue One kind of threw a monkey wrench in that with how Tarkin usurped Krennic for command of the Death Star, since I figured the Emperor just always had him in command of it from the beginning. But then Thrawn is a Grand Admiral, so maybe the Moffs were more a political military corps instead of just military. Boy, do we need an Imperial Military 101 reference guide. Yeah, that's for sure. I think what happened is you also got a, like, they were trying to use old school stuff from, you know, the Republic years and new Imperial stuff. So you were getting all different ranks and ranks left over from different things and traditional ranks. And it was probably just a mess.
Yeah. And there's a panel floating around from Celebration that's like the military of Star Wars that I kind of would like to watch. But at the same time, I'm just like, you know, it's all messed up, whatever. Because also, right. Like, Tarkin is, being a Grand Moff is the governor of the Outer Rim. Like, being a Grand Moff means that he's the governor of the Outer Rim, which is why sometimes people call him Governor Tarkin. So he's not just a Moff, he's also a political governor of that section, so.
Yeah, Moff might be just, like, something he got, you know, it could be just, like, a term of achievement or something, you know? He got the Medal of Grand Moff for defeating, you know, troops on this planet or something. No, no, no. Well, Gene Hendricks says, the rank of Moff is kind of odd. They are essentially military sector governors, so they are more administrative than straight-up military commanders. To my knowledge, Tarkin is the only Grand Moff, meaning that he is pretty much the top of the government arm of the Empire. The Grand Admirals would be the top of the military, and Vader would be the chief badass. Winky face. Winky face. And Aaron Henley says, works for me. I mean, are you going to argue with the guy who chokes you just by looking at you from a monitor? That's correct. All right, so now another separate conversation. This one with Paul C. Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you're jumping ahead. I recall this episode getting me really pumped after seeing Lando 2 episodes ago and now Tarkin. One that really matched Peter Cushing's voice, thanks to Stephen Stanton.
Oh, I have to say, Stephen Stanton does a really amazing
Tarkin. He does a really
Tarkin.
Good job.
Yeah.
He does all the little trills and rolling of R's and stuff.
And he was talking about how in the Rebels Recon, like, he was a fan of Peter Cushing's before Star Wars, like, when he was younger. Like, he, like, loved his, like, Sherlock Holmes's and, like, his monster movies. So, like, when he did Star Wars and then Stephen Stanton was cast to do him, like, he was like, oh, I can totally do a Peter Cushing voice. Because he had been a huge fan of his for years, so.
I recently heard an interview with Stephen Stanton, who also did the voice of Gascon, and said George Lucas's favorite Clone Wars episode was Sunny Day in the Void, LOL.
More like LOL.
Thanks, George. Excitement to see more episodes rose after the subordinate slaughter and bigger threat to the Ghost Crew. I think a Luke Skywalker line was referenced. You will find I am full of surprises. Was that a Luke Skywalker line? Yeah, I guess it was.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, yeah. And then Paul C. Kelly said, the Paul C. Kelly voice is starting to remind me of Cloud Guy from the 2016 Trolls movie. Hope possibly might be familiar with that one. LOL.
Nope, I've successfully avoided that movie with being a nanny and having 13... nieces and nephews. I have successfully avoided the Trolls movie. Thank God. All right, candy.
Candy time. What do you want to eat?
I just picked up a really big cookie-like thing. What else is in here?
The Choco Crunchies?
Let's see. Yeah, it just happened to be on top, so it was the first thing I picked up.
I'd be up for the Choco Crunchies.
Okay. So, if you don't know what we're doing, Chris hates American Kit Kats because he's a weirdo. And our friend Dario sends us candy from all over the world to review, because Dario is wonderful, and he's Chris's co-podcaster for Eat It and Breed It. And let's see, the chocolate
They're British.
Cookies, they're from the Philippines.
Oh. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Well, maybe the British
but then he's
part
one
of
that
the
says that what the crunchy is British, and then the choco crunchy, but oh well. Oh, they're individually, oh good, they're individually wrapped, so
oh,
I don't
so
have
nice.
To... So I don't have to eat them all. I like that. Ooh, look at them. They're like a, they look like a peppermint patty.
Oh my gosh, there's so many of them.
Yeah, there's like a, it's like a, it's like actually like a, it's actually like a box of cookies more than a candy bar.
I know. That's so nice. Good job, Philippines. I haven't even been into this yet. Okay.
Yeah, there's six of them in here.
Wow. Okay. Right.
So these look like, they look like coffee dunkers to me. Or tea, probably, since it's...
It tastes like tea biscuits covered in chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Is yep. That what it tastes like?
With a nice dark chocolate. They're not very sweet at all.
It says on the back of the packaging, and I just like it because it says fancy. If desired, these delicious fancy milk chocolate biscuits may be chilled before serving.
Chilled, eh?
But I like that they're called fancy biscuits.
They are fancy biscuits.
Oh, it says right on the front of the package, 6 chocolate cookies covered biscuits individually wrapped in aluminum foil.
Mmm.
So right on the package.
I love it. I don't have to eat them all at once.
Oh, no. Mm. Well, thank you, Dario.
I may eat actually this whole package, though.
Wow. Where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at tutufreaks.com. That is our website. Loaded with podcasts. We just added another Thomas DJ podcast. Thomas DJ's Watching, where he'll talk about movies that he's seen. And we're sort of the dumping ground for those. He's doing them on a Patreon, so people are paying to hear him first. But then when they're past a certain time, you can listen to him for free on the Two True Freaks Network.
Oh, that's cool.
And you can subscribe to our RSS feeds of any of our quality Demonzophonic Stereo podcasts from there. Or you could go to iTunes to sign up for them. You can also go to Facebook and see what we're all posting up on our Two True Freaks page on Facebook, and our Two True Freaks Cantina, which is another group where we just go. It's more of a forum to talk. And we also have a strong Twitter presence with the aforementioned Gene, the podcasting machine. That was a very jazzy.
Thank you. Jazzy every time we do that, I'm just like, panic, I have to do something different. Panic. And it's like usually the first thing my brain thinks of. One day I want to like chug a Coke and just like try and burp it out, which won't work. It'll just end in me throwing up on the floor.
That's okay. That will be amusing too.
One day.
That will go into the annals of podcast history also.
It will
but
never
that's,
happen.
That's where you can find me. Where can they find you, Hope?
You can find me at JGuysAndJedi. I run our Twitter account. I also have my Twitter account, which is Hope Molinax. Speaking of burping, yeah. I also have a website called geekygirlexperience.com. And I also have fan fiction that I write on Archive of Our Own, or AO3 for short. And my fan fiction is called Forces of Gravity. It's a Thrawn fan fiction. And I also co-read my friend Megan's story, or beta read my friend Megan's story, Valkyrie Strike. So my life kind of like crashed in the last like 2 weeks. And actually my life has been a travesty since January. So I will get things updated on those. I just haven't had a chance to, because as I said in the opening of the show, I need to buy a car really fast. And 221 Beacon happened a couple weeks ago. So I will be adding things soon, and I'm almost done with a chapter of Forces of Gravity, and I really do want to sit down and do a rewatch of Resistance before fall, but we'll see, because I need to, like, take a breather week. So. Hope needs a breather week.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah, it's just been super crazy, because I was getting ready for 221 Beacon, so that was a couple weeks. We had to schedule our guest. And then 221 Beacon happened, and just as I was, like, doing a write-up for 221 Beacon, all this stuff has started happening with my car, and so now I'm, like, my priority is buy a car, like, really fast and stuff like that. So, I hope she needs a breather week, and then she can get back to riding normal person life.
Yeah, I could use a breather week, and then I just realized it ain't happening.
Yeah, so I've been pretty much writing the new chapter, because my last chapter of Forces of Gravity came out in January, and I just haven't... I've been piddling away around at this new chapter, which is already about, like, almost 20 pages, but it's just, like, a couple paragraphs here and there, and sometimes that's what you have to do as a writer. Sometimes you can only get in, like, a paragraph, maybe two. Maybe you can only get in three sentences. That happened one night where I was just so tired, but I was like, I'm gonna write tonight! And I wrote, like, three sentences, and I was like, fuck yeah, three sentences!
Progress, yep.
Yeah,
progress is progress.
I'm three sentences closer than I was before, so... New chapter is coming. I'm almost done with it. I just gotta finish it. So I'm almost done with part one of Forces of Gravity, and then I'll be starting part two. Part one is probably gonna be about 23 chapters and 200,000 words. It's 400 pages. So, yeah. All right. Well, next week, we get another Inquisitor. My favorite Inquisitor, which is the Seventh Sister. I love her.
There's always two.
There are only two there are. So, yay. Two Inquisitors.
Always. All right. Well, we'll see you next week, and hopefully Hope's voice will be back to normal by then.
No, I'm done now. Now, this is... I now talk in my Palpatine voice at all times.
Forever.
Oh, my God. What if I did an entire show like that? I would die. Let's test this. Let's find a piece. The clones are slowly losing, and Rex is like, come on, fight us like men. And Kallus gives a Mortal Kombat, finish him. I couldn't do an entire show like that. My voice would die.
It would be entertaining. Yeah, you'd need to have the, like, throat spray for that one.
And I would need, like, to actually, like, do vocal warm-ups and make sure I was ready for that. So, all right, you guys, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
And this is your Uncle Don saying good night.
Good night, little kids. Good night.
We're off?
Good. Well, that ought to hold the little bastards.